First, the U.S. Supreme Court decided to invalidate a Louisiana law that the majority said limited women's access to abortions in the state to an unconstitutional degree. The 5-4 vote included Chief Justice John Roberts on the majority side. Kimmy King is a distinguished teaching professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
Well, remind us, Kimmy, about this Louisiana law that made its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
So the June Medical Services versus Rousseau decision involved a Louisiana law that was strikingly similar to a Texas law that had been taken up in 2016. And in that decision, the Supreme Court had struck down this requirement that abortion doctors have admitting privileges in hospitals near where the clinic and the abortion is performed. If you're pro-life, the logic is that the doctor needs to have admitting privileges in case something goes wrong. If you're pro-choice, you point out the fact that that is rarely, if ever, used because that's just simply not the nature of the abortion procedure. And it's the question of whether or not there is some additional benefit by having this law in place or whether it creates a burden on the woman who's seeking reproductive access. And that's what the court was considering, was a Louisiana law that took up that issue.
Looking at the result, I said 5-4. I've seen some people say it's actually sort of 4-4-1, and the one broke the tie in a particular way. Let's look at first each of the fours here. The liberal group, if we can call it that, in the U.S. Supreme Court, what was their argument? Was it basically what you just said, that benefit versus burden?
Yeah, that's correct. And you see the dissent saying they've come up with a new test, right? And so the liberals took this position that this is unnecessary. It drops the accessibility down to literally one abortion provider in the state of Louisiana would have had the credentials necessary. And it's that kind of limited access that the liberals pointed out created an undue burden.
And then the four who were against it, the dissent, what was their case for why they wanted to uphold this Louisiana law?
So the issue is that the state legislature should be able to make these kinds of determinations. If they also point out that there isn't this causal connection, that just because requiring doctors have admission privileges doesn't mean that women are going to have less access because of the admission privileges. And so they just take issue with the logic of what denying the admission privileges will do. And of course, then everybody's pinning on Justice Roberts, who was the critical swing voter here today. And I would be remiss if I didn't point out that in the 2016 opinion, he was in the dissent. He had voted with the dissent to say that he thought that the Texas law was okay as it stood. Today's opinion points out that, you know, really all he's saying is he believes in stare decisis, or this idea of letting prior case law and decision making stand rather than to keep reversing itself all the time. And that's why Roberts joined the liberal bloc.
Right. So if I'm understanding this correctly, he didn't really enter into this benefit versus undue burden argument. He said this is basically the same case we decided in 2016, even though I was on the other side. There's not enough different in front of the court here to change and reverse that precedent. Do I have that right?
That's absolutely correct. And it's consistent with Roberts being a wait just a minute here. Everybody stay calm, which has been his approach in a number of different cases. In many instances, what I think you're going to see is Justice Roberts balancing out this concern over wild shifts on the court. And it's his way of saying, not so quickly. Let's think this through very carefully. This is an issue that's already been decided. It's completely consistent with a more conservative ideology to not be constantly changing your mind about what the law is in order to produce some kind of social change that you want to see happen.
We're talking to Kimmy King, distinguished teaching professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of North Texas, looking at this morning's U.S. Supreme Court decision. It overturned new abortion restrictions in effect from Louisiana. We're talking about what it means for the future. And Kimmy, with what Robert said, what if a completely different abortion restriction came up, not related to admitting privileges? This did not at all commit him to overturn that kind of law. We could see other changes.
Oh, right. Absolutely. And you are going to continue to see the wave of challenges continue to make their way up through the court. I mean, there are no less than 50 different kinds of restrictions that are out there among the states that, you know, can be considered. And what the court does is this case-by-case analysis and whether or not it's placing, you know, requirements on what doctors have to do if an aborted, you know, fetus or child, depending on what your view is and how you see this issue, if that fetus or child is born alive, what you have to do, whether or not you can mandate sonograms that women have to watch before they get an abortion, whether or not you can prohibit state facilities and employees from being involved in any way with the abortion process. There's just no limit to the kinds of restrictions that are out there in the states that can continue to move forward.
And as I understand it, Kimmy, a lot of this comes from a case, not Roe versus Wade, which made abortion legal around the country, but a case called Planned Parenthood versus Casey in the early 90s. That's where this whole case law about, you know, how much of a burden, how much of a restriction can you put on women seeking abortion came from. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So what Roe v. Wade did was it set up this trimester framework, and it said that we break down the pregnancy decision into three, you know, periods of time, first trimester, second, third. It's only after the second trimester that you can begin prohibiting abortions. Planned Parenthood came in and said, wait a minute, that doesn't work. We are able to save babies or fetuses, depending on your view, at early and earlier ages. So what the standard is whether or not the fetus or child is viable. Have they achieved viability? And even if so, you cannot create an undue burden on the woman. And it's this undue burden standard that has consistently been a concern about people that tend to be more pro-choice.
This particular ruling was seen as maybe a test, Kimmy, of whether, you know, with President Trump's appointees now on the court, whether it would be more sympathetic to challenges to abortion, to restrictions on abortion. Can we read this case that way?
Well, the way you can most definitely read it is that Roberts is not going to be drawn into this political fray. It doesn't matter whether you are a Democratic legislator attacking Supreme Court justices. He's not going to stand for it. If you think he's going to be somebody that's just a political hack who's going to do whatever his ideology you might otherwise predict he would do, he's not going to have it. Chief Justice John Roberts is his own man, and he's going to make decisions based on the principled findings of the cases before him, and he's not going to be drawn in to any kind of political fray.
Do you see this case potentially, given everything else going on in the country, this particular ruling being an issue in the presidential race this year?
It absolutely will be. And what's going to be interesting to watch is the extent to which President Trump uses this case as support for why he needs to keep putting, you know, better, more conservative judges and justices on the bench. But it will also be curious whether or not he attacks the courts, because in recent days, they've also given President Trump some wins. Even just today, they said that it violated the president's authority to set in place the Consumer Protection Bureau the way we have it set up. And so it found that violated the separation of powers and interfered with the president's authority. So the president has to tread carefully here in his attacks on the Supreme Court. But without a doubt, he will use this abortion decision as a reason for why we need to keep bringing conservative abortion cases up through the federal courts and his over 200 federal judges that he's now appointed to keep challenging abortion access.
Kimmy, thanks again for joining us today.
You betcha. Love public radio.
That's Kimmy King, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the University of North Texas. We talked to her today about the Supreme Court ruling today that strikes down a Louisiana law regulating abortion clinics.